From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 14th day of March 2019. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net will join us to take up the cash grain situation. And as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mike Tenora. He's from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, I'll invite you today to join us at Riggs Beer this afternoon into the evening hours. There's lots going on out there, and we're going to record Commodity Week. You can't participate in that process, but you sure can ask a few questions of the guys that'll be along with us. I'll tell you more a bit later in this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Oh, and you'll learn about a red corn called Bloody Butcher.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Thursday afternoon, we're joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon, Dan. Thank you so much for being with us. I hear you're back in the great state of Illinois.
Yeah, I'm back here in Illinois trying to stay on, keep my feet on the ground. Going outside is a challenge up here. I don't know if you've got the winds down there in central Illinois, but boy, we sure have them up here in northwestern Illinois.
Well, they're pretty stiff here, but I think you might have a stronger wind than we do. Hey, speaking of strong winds, last week when we talked to you on Commodity Week, you were terribly bearish. I'm wondering if what you saw then is still in play today.
Well, I think that was did a good job of putting a bottom in the market, because we did follow through, I guess, a little bit on Monday, Friday and Monday. But Tuesday here, we started turning around. The funds have been terribly short. They were big shorts in the market, and they basically ran out of selling power. And now they've had to come in here and cover. Now, what is encouraging about this week's action so far, now we still have 1 week to, or 1 day to go yet, but we do have some weekly reversals kind of on the table here in corn, soybeans, and wheat. Now, for the month, corn has been able to kind of climb back to unchanged to like a penny or so higher. Beans are still behind for the month. But wheat is also behind for the month, but within striking distance of coming back to maybe being unchanged. So if this rally could extend itself, you know, as we go on into the last half of March, then we could really begin to talk about some monthly reversals up on all three commodities. And that would be a very strong signal, I think, that we are opening the door for at least an early growing season rally. Now, what may trigger that, we'll have to wait and see. But I know everybody's kind of getting a little uneasy with the cold and wet weather that we've had, and looking at maybe a late spring. But we're still only middle March here, so we still have to be a little patient on that. But I do think that is providing some underlying support to the marketplace.
So we have to deal still with the fundamental supply, which is large at this point. How much does that cap anything? And how much depends on what happens with the wheat market?
Well, the wheat market, back in the old days, wheat or soybeans either led the rally, and the other two commodities kind of fell in line. But wheat may come in, you know, I just don't see how wheat can get going too much unless we really have some severe weather in the plains, because we got a billion bushel carryover. And that same way with soybeans, it's maybe down to 900 now, but 900 to a billion bushel carry out on both those commodities is more than enough, but it always can stir up a short covering rally. Fundamentally, corn, I think, you know, if some of these private estimates are correct, that we are going to plant more corn acres, that could maybe be a negative longer term. But the question is, we got to get it planted. And I think right now there's probably more concerned about planting delays and maybe not getting all the corn planted, probably more so than worrying about increased acres. And that maybe this is why corn was able to hold its advance today, where soybeans kind of petered out at the close, because if we're not going to get the corn planted, then that means we're going to plant more bean acres. So Mother Nature is going to tell us which way we're going to go here during the month of April and the first part of May. But for right now, the trade is a little uncertain exactly what kind of mix we will end up with the new crop, corn and soybeans.
The acreage and grain stocks reports are due out next, or in 2 weeks, on the 29th. That's 2 weeks from tomorrow. We've seen some numbers out. USDA has some unofficial numbers from the Ag Forum. Allendale released their numbers. We've seen the Informa numbers as well. They all dropped the soybean acreage to that 85 million acre area. Corn comes around 91, 92 million. They were both around 89 million each last year. Do you have any gut feeling about what producers will do this year?
I think it's up to the individual farmer and their individual land that they raise on. I mean, some land produces better soybeans, some land produces better corn. And I think that's what we're going to see, is the land that produces better corn, they have better shots at better yields on corn. It's going to go back to corn if it was in soybeans last year. And you know, if the land produces better soybeans in the long run, it's going to go to soybeans. But I do agree with the direction. I think there is going to be more corn acres and bean acres. Now, I know that the corn-soybean ratio doesn't necessarily suggest any major shift, because it's kind of in the neutral range. And so when you're in the neutral range, I think it goes back to the individual farm ground, and it'll probably depend upon farmers' rotation. And I think last year they all went a little more heavier on the soybeans. So I think it's going to basically move out of soybeans and move over into corn. And everybody's got their fingers crossed that this tighter supply-demand balance sheet in corn may stir up some kind of spring rally, and they will be able to get off some decent sales early in the growing season. I think that's what they're betting on.
Once in a while, the March and the July grain stocks numbers, those are the disappearance numbers, will surprise the marketplace. Any concern that'll happen this time around?
Well, let's hope it's a bullish surprise. And I think, you know, the reason, I think there's an underlying belief in here that the severeness of the weather, winter weather that we had here in the growing region, actually, I think through most of the country had a bad winter, that is going to show a stronger disappearance on feed usage. And I think that could be a generally supportive surprise to corn. I mean, 100 million bushels is 100 million bushels. I'd rather have it be 100 million bushels less than 100 million bushels more. But I think, you know, that could all kind of feed into, I mean, corn, you could probably argue that corn has the best opportunity to rally. But a lot of times, you know, that fizzles out because everybody's looking for it to rally and it gets built into the marketplace. Whereas soybeans, everybody's been kind of looking for soybeans to fall a dollar at any time, and they haven't fallen a dollar, but they are vulnerable. There's no doubt about it. Beans are vulnerable, especially when the South American hedge pressure begins to come into the marketplace during this April-May timeframe. The trade is still looking for some kind of China trade deal, but that's still, I think, a few weeks away. I think something will happen by April, but I think it's out of the question here for the month of March anyway. And if something like that would help, that would all help generate some kind of spring rally. And like I said last week on Commodity Week, when you look at the statistics, the seasonalities and all that, the odds at least would indicate that we should have better pricing opportunities as we go deeper into the growing season, very rarely do we have highs in the winter months. The only time you have calendar year highs in the winter months is when you're coming off of a short crop. So you have very lofty prices during harvest, and that usually extends into the first part of the next year. But since we're coming off of another back-to-back record crops, it's real difficult for me to visualize that the calendar year highs are in place. Statistics are statistics, and they're meant to be broken. But I still lean that we should have better pricing opportunities. How much better they're going to be, we'll just have to kind of be patient on it. But I do think there's better pricing opportunities ahead of us as we get a little deeper into the growing season.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it, and have fun up there with your dad.
Very well. Thank you.
That's Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. You know, all week I've been talking to you about the crop insurance decision and some of the things you can do potentially to save a little money by using SCO. Gary Schnitke posted an article to the Farm Doc Daily website on it. I've got that article and all the things that we've been discussing on our website at willag.org right now. Yesterday afternoon, you probably received from your state FSA office an email. And that email, Gary and I went through paragraph by paragraph, actually confirms all the things that we've been telling you. So make that decision by tomorrow for crop insurance. Hey, you know, each and every week I record Commodity Week. Usually the panelists are all on the phone, but once in a while the guys want to come in town, and when they do, we don't stay in studio. In fact, tonight is one of those nights, and we're going to head out to Riggs Beer, and sure would like to have you join us there. Now, Riggs is out on the east side of Urbana along Route 130. It's not hard to find. I'll have Bill Mayer, Kurt Kimmel, and Wayne Nelson with me this evening. Matt Riggs is now on the line with us to tell us about a big evening that they've got planned there. I didn't mean to do this, but it sure looks like it's going to be a great night and a busy one there at Riggs Beer. Matt, thanks for being with us. What you got going on?
We do, Todd. Tonight's our monthly release night. Once a month, we release a seasonal beer, and this month's a really fun one. It's a beer called Red IPL, made with red corn grown here locally. Red corn, yeah, you heard that right. So some specialty crop used in our beer production for the beer tonight. It's a pretty high-flavored beer. We use a lot of hops from the Pacific Northwest in this beer as well. So you're gonna get a lot of like kind of tropical fruit and a lot of bitterness in this beer. So it's definitely not a beer for the faint of heart.
Yeah, so normally you use ingredients that you grow on the Riggs Farm here in Champaign County, but this red corn, I think it's called Bloody Butcher, is that right? Is grown by a farmer in Oakland, Illinois?
That's right. Since we experiment a lot with brewing grains on the farm, and we try to integrate as much of those as we can into our beer. I think we've done about 25 tons of our grain in the last 2.5 years. But about 2 years ago, we ran across a guy down in Oakland growing Bloody Butcher red corn. I saw a picture of it on the internet, and I just said, wow, that is really beautiful corn. I got to try it. Try to make beer with it. So the guy's name down there is Rick Davis, and he custom grows it for us, and we make this beer once a year.
All right, so if you're a farmer and you're in the Oakland area, or you happen to know Rick, or you just want to come out and join us, you can do that. We'll record Commodity Week. Frankly, that's kind of a small thing, so you won't be able to listen to it tonight, but we'll stick around for supper, because you've got a catered event, and you're celebrating St. Paddy's Day early, and the Irish side of me loves the fact that you're going to have corned beef and cabbage. The German side of me is pretty excited, too, because you've got schnitzel with paprika spice sauce coming. It should be a great evening. That starts at 5 o'clock.
That's right. Yep. So once a month when we do this seasonal release beer, we also bring in a caterer. That's the only time we ever do that. And we try to make a meal that fits with the season, so the corned beef and cabbage surely does that, and then the schnitzel with the paprika, that heat from the paprika, we're hoping kind of cuts the bitterness of this red IPL beer.
Oh boy, that should really excite the taste buds. If you want to join us tonight, you can do that. I'll be recording Commodity Week. We'll be at the Riggs Beer Company this evening, actually this afternoon. It's on Route 130 east of Urbana. Not hard to find, just look it up. And Matt, I'll see you maybe in an hour or so.
All right, we'll see you in a bit, Todd. Thanks.
That's Matt Riggs of Riggs Beer Company. We'll be out at the Tap Room and Beer Garden this afternoon into the supper time frame. Sure hope you can come out and join us. Let's check the cash grain situation now with Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds, agmarket.net. He joins us from Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, I appreciate being on, bud.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what's happening in the marketplace. This was a better week by far than last week. It was really heavy last week. What happened this week?
Well, first of all, Todd, I want you to knock on wood because the week's not quite over with yet. And, and I don't want to... change our fortunes here, but you're exactly right. I mean, the markets definitely had a rough feel to them this week. We just didn't get any traction. Then we come in here this week and we have a little bit of upward movement. The corn market, seems to be a little bit better on better footing than the bean market. But for the most part, both of them are performing better on the week than what we saw last week. I think the corn market's been interesting. A couple of things that I know, we continue to see that the basis has been pretty solid, even seeing some improvements here and there, which is to be expected whenever you see the futures market heading south. But, I think there's still a fairly large scale of corn out there, but we're still seeing basis levels good. So it's a really good thing to see.
What are your expectations as this corn moves into the marketplace? Because you're right, there seems like there's an awful lot of it out there. I guess we'll know a whole lot more when we get to the grain stocks report about how much is there. But it could really put some pressure on the basis.
Yeah, I fully expect that to happen. I talked about this a little bit there at the beef house whenever I was up in front talking about basis or cash grain market. And, essentially the way I see this playing out is exactly the way that the originators that I talk to on a regular basis have told me it would play out. If we get some sort of an agreement, for instance, with China, and you get a 25-30 cent rally in the market, which would be fantastic. No one's going to complain there. But they're telling me that maybe a third up to a half of the rally could be mitigated by a weakening of basis, just simply due to the fact that there's going to be a ton of corn that's going to want to reward that market, and the system's not going to be able to handle it. That the originators are trying to be, jerks about it. It's that, they can't handle the corn. The only way that they can get you to, pump the brakes, if you will, is to back off the basis a little bit and maybe slow that down just a hair.
So producers are going to have to be really diligent watching both the futures and their basis and trying to pick some spots to make cash grain sales. Between now and when they need to get those bins empty in order not to run into that problem, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of guys have been asking us, should they maybe transfer some of their ownership paper? I've got no issue with that. We've told them, with basis being good in here, obviously this price isn't exactly what you want. But for those producers who feel like they want to maybe spend a dime just to see if this corn market's got some life in it, I don't have any issue at all with going ahead and selling the corn and then transferring that to a limited strategy to where they're not, going to get rung alive. But it's a pretty good way to take advantage of that basis, get some cash in your pocket.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt. Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds, agmarket.net. On this Thursday afternoon, we're joined by Mike Tenori here on the Closing Market Report to take up the weather forecast. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. We've heard so much about the snow pack across the High Plains, in the Dakotas, Minnesota, parts of Wisconsin, and the wet weather that really has been around for quite some time. Can you give me an overview?
Well, the big concern at the moment regards all of that snowpack that exists in the northern areas. There's about 4 to 8 inches of water locked up from the eastern Dakotas through Minnesota and then the northern three-fourths of Wisconsin. We haven't seen snowpack like this in a long time. Our records go back to about 2004, and we just don't have anything that's quite comparable to the way it is at the moment. Now, we are going to see a little more snow in some of these areas today, but then we get into tomorrow and the next 7 to 10 days after that, and there's no major systems on the horizon, so we don't expect those numbers to increase. So that snowpack will basically stay the same. Once we get about a week out from now, temperatures start to warm up there and across all of the central U.S. That will start the inevitable melting process. And at that point, we're going to see some significant flooding across that region. That water will then spread to the south, and how it impacts rivers across the Corn Belt and Delta, it's a little unclear, but there's a lot of water that needs to, you know, melt, because right now it's frozen in the form of ice and snow.
When we get just past that, the 10 to 14 day forecast, what do things look like?
Well, we're watching a couple of systems that are going to, again, move across the central U.S. That period is still far enough out that we don't have a lot of certainty, but we'd be pretty surprised if we don't start to see some rain and snow return to the Midwest and much of the Plains and the Delta, for that matter, starting up in around March 23rd, 24th, and 25th. After that, it looks like there's some more systems lined up behind it. Part of the reason we have some confidence in this is because we can see that the Gulf of Alaska region is again going to turn colder. And that's part of the reason that this main storm track has lined up across the central U.S. in recent weeks and months, going all the way back to last fall, for that matter. So we think it's going to turn wetter again. It might not be as wet as it has been. It just remains to be seen. But it's not going to take a whole lot of rain to slow things down from a producer standpoint. It's very wet out there now. We're going to be cool for a week, even though we're dry. Then we start to warm up, but with that warm up comes rain.
Just one of those things that happens from time to time, I take it. It is spring, and, well, we get unique weather at this point, usually.
Well, and you need to keep in mind, too, that April and May are some of the wettest months of the year, and only surpassed by June, with northward extent into Iowa and Minnesota. So we are moving into the wettest period of the year from a climatological standpoint. So upcoming rains are not unusual, but when you put them with respect to how much we've seen over the last 6 months, keeping in mind that the autumn and winter period of September through February was the number one wettest by a wide margin in 125 years in the Corn Belt. That just tells you we don't need more of this. And unfortunately, it looks like we're going to see a little bit more toward the end of the month, maybe into April. Coverage and amounts, that's what remains to be seen.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd. Talk to you next week.
You betcha. That, of course, is Mike Tenori. He's with Teen Storm Weather. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.